Oh, I love that harmonica, boys. Keep playing for a while, will you? Make my head a little high, make the whole day complete. Sounds like Modell a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. And put a
good buzz on. Hey, we got to thank Chris and Modell for showing up tonight and, for the homegrown show with Brandon. I'll tell you guys, you're good stuff, man. A lot of fun. Keep playing, pal. Because we have no guests tonight, nothing to say.
We're just going to listen to some tunes
just
and add some commentary.
We might have Modell for the whole hour here.
You never know. You like the harmonica, but what about a little piano?
I love it all. I just can't play it all. I'm pretty good at the sex organ. That's about it. Uh-oh. Am I going to lose my job? I'm not as good as I once was. You know the old saying. There ain't nothing to
do. Who is this?
This is Jonathan Edwards.
I love it.
Called Shanty.
Shanty?
Yeah.
With an S or a C?
With an S.
Candy.
Like Chanticleer?
Shantix. It's about a quick smoking drug.
Bring it on down, pal. We got a show to do. And that's good stuff, though. I really like that stuff. Strew Man here, the four-hour outdoorsman. I'll tell you what. I listen to Bob. You guys listen to Bob? I listen to Bob. That's
I do.
I do, too.
I'm a Bob fan. Strew Man here, the four-hour outdoorsman. Brandon there behind the glass. Sam and Mark. We have nothing but fun, laughing, and learning on the 4-Hour Outdoorsman, and we are going to do that tonight. But it's just been so nice to be outside, hasn't it?
It's been beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
What a week, man. It's like 80 degrees.
Marky and I went fishing with Nick, right? Caught a few fish.
Oh, when was that?
Yeah, we went, when was that? Friday afternoon we went. It was beautiful, 80 degrees. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful evening.
I didn't have anything going on Friday. Mark is the outdoors guy around, and Sam is too. I just kind of go along for the ride and have a lot of fun. So Mark and Nick bust their butt kiss. He caught about 30, 35 small crappies and bluegills, enough to, and kept maybe a dozen to take them home. So Mark brings these babies home, cleans these fish, and what does he have for dinner? His wife made fish sticks.
Had a whole pan of them.
A whole pan of fish sticks. Life is good, isn't it, Modell?
That is great, man.
You take care. Thanks for being here, young man.
Nothing wrong with a fish stick, no.
Nothing wrong with a fish stick, no, but nothing wrong with fresh crappies and bluegills as well. So
that is funny.
It
though.
Is funny, oh, fish yeah. sticks, yeah.
We're
yeah,
starting no. to count the days, you know, of having the boat out still, so you got to get out at least a couple more times before it goes to sleep at Power Lodge.
Yeah, and what about your week? What did you do this week there, my friend Sam?
Oh, let's see. What did I do? Worked a lot, and then I...
good. You got to make a living. You got to pay for that land you got and build a house here next spring.
Yep. And speaking of the land, we went out quite a bit, you know, checking trail cams. And my wife, Kirsten, loves... Since we've bought this new land that's closer to us, she goes out there about
Is there such a word as boughten? I don't even know.
Well, I guess not.
Awkward.
So we did. I even say that.
Yeah, you did.
I'm going to listen back on Tuesday morning, as all of our listeners should.
It could be a word. My granddaughter Allie said that funner is a word now, so boughten could be a word.
I think I'm going to put the podcast out on Monday because I'm gone Tuesday. I'm going to Nebraska.
Hang on a second. I think Sam was telling a story here.
You know, I'm just it's your world. I'm just in it. It's true. Go ahead. Run the music.
There's no Brandon.
Thanks for listening tonight. You finish your story, then we'll go to Mark.
I was going to say my beautiful wife, who we are celebrating our anniversary tomorrow.
Oh, congrats.
7 years.
Congrats.
She goes out there all the time, and it's awesome. We were out there yesterday. We were out there today, ripping around on the four-wheeler. We pull the kids around in the trailer. It's gorgeous out.
Aren't you concerned about disrupting the wildlife? No, I'm serious about hunting and stuff, though. Are there that many deer and all that out there that they're going to see?
Yeah, so I can tell you this. So it's more, I mean, East Bethel, you know, cedar area, so it's a little bit more populated.
Yeah.
And we got the gun range next to us.
Right.
So I could be out on my four-wheeler, which we were today. We were out there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and by the time I got home, I had pictures of deer in my food plot.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So we were out there for 3 or 4 hours yesterday, brought my mom and dad, my sister out, and we showed them the whole land, drove them around, and we were on a four-wheeler the whole time, and... Last night I had an amazing night of trail cam pictures. I had 3 big bucks together. I got does everywhere on every single trail cam. So to answer your question, I think it's just they're so used to the, you know, the population, and there's a sod farm and a frisbee golf, so they're used to people, which is nice for me.
I was at my son Mike's property with my pretty wife today. We were hunting mushrooms like old people do, and You know, I'm going to sell my shotgun and my 30-06 and just hunt mushrooms. It's, there's no license, and you know, but we were out there, and my son Mike was telling me that he's building a word. Well, he just got done bought in the materials, and now he's building his for his pole barn.
That felt so good.
Anyway, so he had some young guys help him put the trusses up. You know, I think is what they call them up. This is a big building. I don't even know the dimensions, but it's a big building. And so instead of paying them, they worked out something where they're going to be able to hunt Mike's 125 acres, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so they love it, and they couldn't wait. So Mike had one trail cam out, maybe two trail cams out. Now he's got eight. And one or two of those are the trail cam that you were talking about that send pictures right to your cell phone. Yeah. He said it is so much fun. You get a click, and all of a sudden you see what's happening out there. You can't help but get excited.
Well, the first thing I do when I wake up is I read the daily verse and daily readings. And then I look at my app because it's fun just scrolling through.
Oh, it's got to be. Yeah. So I've got to get one of those cameras. He said you're going to try to hook me up.
I will get you
one. As soon as Mark mentioned that about a month ago or so, I got online and tried to find them all over the place, and nobody had them.
Yeah, I'll get you one.
Yeah. I'll pay you for it.
Well, yeah, I know you will.
But that's the real deal.
And you have to pay monthly, you realize that.
I do that. Will you amortize it over 30 years?
I will, yeah. Yes.
But he's excited about it. As a matter of fact, my son Mike then today just asked me, do I want to bow hunt on his property? I bow hunted once in my life with a recurve, a 30-pound or a 35-pound recurve. Got a deer the first time I was out, and I thought this was easy. I never got a deer after that, but I've never done the crossbow or the compound bow stuff.
You should get a crossbow.
Nah. Well, I could. I'm old enough, aren't I? Can't.
Yeah, you can.
But my granddaughter, Allie, is about my size, as a matter of fact, strong girl. And she's left-handed, and she's got a compound. And so Mike, not this week, but next Monday and Tuesday, I'm going to go with Mike and learn how to use a compound bow and maybe hunt on his property sometime before the end of the year. I'd like to try that out.
You know. Take video. Pictures.
You absolutely should do that.
That's true. I'll be embarrassed if I can't pull it back. Can I pull back 45 pounds?
Easy.
Oh, yeah.
Easy.
Yep.
All right. Well,
here,
cool.
Squeeze my hand.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You could.
Oh, yeah. Cool. I'll do it then. So I'm looking forward to that. And he just invited Mark to go goose hunting in a couple of weeks out there and duck hunting.
Must be nice.
Yeah. You should have some friends like Mark does.
Oh, I do have a friend. Mark and Stru, but they went fishing on Friday.
Without you?
Without me.
Did no one call you?
I'm glad you guys did it. No,
we hung out on Saturday.
We did. That's true, Brandon. I appreciate you and love you. I was going to tell you really quick on the poundage. The Nuge, you know, Ted Nugent, he doesn't go over 40 pounds. A lot of these guys you see on the Outdoor Channel, it's like, yeah, this is 70 or 80 pounds. I can shoot 1,000 yards. Where Ted Nugent, he's like 40 pounds.
Didn't know that. Well, if he can do it, I can do it.
Easy peasy, you don't need to overkill it, you know.
And Mark and I, can we tell about this? What we did on, was it Saturday morning?
Yeah, Saturday morning.
Oh, wow, you guys were Saturday morning and Friday.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, we didn't call you?
No.
Okay,
no,
well, tell them what we did on Saturday, Mark.
We went up north, Finlinson area, and checked out some hunting land. Stu's trying to arrange it for me to get some hunting land. So we went up there and walked the woods with my two boys. Max and Nick shot a bow, too. I brought up a little toy bow.
And the BB gun, yeah.
And a BB gun, so we walked the woods, and it was beautiful, beautiful day.
You know, it's only a 10-acre piece, as a matter of fact. I'm sure I guess I can call him my second cousin, Steve Warner, is the part of the owner. You know, his wife, Tina's the 50%, of course, but they got 10 acres, maybe 25 years ago up in Finlinson, which is about 15, 20 miles from Hinckley and 30 miles straight east of Mille Lacs Lake. And they've had it enough, and life goes on, and so they asked me if I knew if somebody might want to buy it. And so I'm just spreading the word for these guys. And we went up there, and it's hard not to really feel like, boy, this is, I want this, you know. But then you got to think of everything involved as well. But it's a beautiful 10-acre wooded piece of property. They've got four or five tree stands that all have to be redone. But Mark's got three little kids, and I can just see something like that happening with someone like Mike, who's got a couple of kids to go up there and build the tree stands and teach his kids and drew some shooting lanes and teach the kids about what's important for the outdoors. And so hopefully it works out one way or another. And if Mark doesn't, I'll find another buyer. But
what a phenomenal salesman.
Yeah. I know.
He brought your kids into it.
Oh, yeah.
And you took them at the most prettiest time of the year.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
Everyone, no matter what the woods look like, walking it in the fall, you want it. You should have walked it in July.
They released a penned buck that walked by us. Right?
Yeah.
That's a good area. But there. I bet there's bear up there, too.
There is.
He had sent me a picture of a bear on the trail cam. Said there's a lot of turkeys, right? Didn't she say turkeys?
She said she's seen turkeys.
You should do it.
Yeah.
You guys.
What's 30 grand, whatever it is, but good for you. So hopefully it works out for you. If not, I'm in. I might do something. But no, I'm just
trying
to help my
cousin.
There's
such a thing as good debt and bad debt. This would be good debt.
Yeah. But
they're not making any more land. It's not, you're going to lose the value.
And it's not your monthly payment. Let's say you got it on the contract for deed. If it's a monthly payment, you wouldn't have to spend so much a month that you couldn't pay your divorce settlement and child support and alimony. So you go alimony. You could do this.
Is alimony
and alimony. Yeah. Okay. We're done.
I'm looking at my phone for text. Like, what are you talking about? You didn't tell me about this. Yeah.
But anyway, so who knows what's going to happen? But it was just nice being up there.
It was
hour and a half away. It was fun. So just getting outside.
This week's going to be beautiful, too. It's going to be a little chillier, which I like for hunting, but it's going to be another beautiful week here. I think the highs are in the low 50s the rest of the week, so hopefully the deer are starting to move and that rut gets kicked in.
Well, we're having fun, aren't we?
Oh, my gosh. You could have got me there. The ruck.
Yeah.
The rut.
You know, you're talking about being outside and doing the deer hunting, getting ready. My son, Mike, who bought this 125 acres, built a pole barn. He raised hay and all kinds of things. And eventually, he and Eric are going to be able to build their home. I'm so proud of him, but he couldn't wait to do. He's got like 7-8 deer stands out there, you know, tree stands. He hasn't gone once.
Huh.
You know, he's been practicing with his bow for 6 months, he said. He hasn't had time to do it once.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he showed me, he said he can literally, from 60 yards, which is way too far, he's about 30% in the death range from 60 yards. 40 yards, probably about 4 out of 5. He can shoot from 40 yards. He's really comfortable 45 yards. That's a long ways, I think.
It is.
Yeah.
And you know what the nice thing about shooting archery is, if he's consistent enough at 60, 30 yards seems like you could almost stab the deer. It's so close.
Yeah, they're having so much fun. His neighbor's a good friend of his, and they have a tree stand, simulated tree stand in his neighbor's yard, and they shoot over the shed, over the driveway, into Mike's yard where he's living right now. And they're having all kinds of fun. Probably breaking all kinds of laws. Who knows? But they're having fun.
Is this your son that has all the horses?
Yeah. He doesn't have, I think they only have a couple, but they board horses. Okay. Yeah. And it's more of Erica's deal.
Yeah.
You know, Mike's a little bit like Bob Krejci. You know, I don't know if horses are Mike's real deal.
Does
there,
he have a couple holes dug?
Not yet. No. You know, he's got to borrow Bob Krejci's back hole maybe, but we'll share that story some other time. But no, they're doing great, and they love it, and the land's beautiful. I was out there. He's going to take Mark duck hunting. Hey, you want to go duck hunting?
Oh, wow. I didn't feel love there.
He's got a little...
Do you have any ground blinds I could borrow?
Yeah, you guys. Just let me be your guides. I'll do all the work. And then.
No, it's pretty cool. So I just pray to God things go well and everyone stays healthy and his general contractor business keeps on going because he's great at what he does and he's a fun guy. Likes to laugh. So that's
you should bring him in studio.
We've had him in studio maybe once, maybe twice over the years and... I can do that. And we had his daughter on, a couple of daughters. We have a lot of fun.
We should do a contest to bring a fan into studio.
Let's do it.
A fan?
Like a listener.
We don't have fans.
All right, I didn't mean to say fan.
All right, we've been talking about this for the last year. Mark and I have been talking about this, and I thought it would be cool to have some, not necessarily a contest, but see which of our listeners would love to spend an hour with us in studio. And we have a lot of them, thank God. For all of you who are listening to the show, boy, we really appreciate it. Keep on doing so. But we want to do something to entice someone who wants to be on the air and spend an hour with us BSing, you know?
Yeah.
You can lie like I do. Nobody knows. It's radio. But every last Friday of the month, I think it'd be kind of fun to have one of our listeners in studio.
We do the shows on Sunday,
last Friday of the month.
Oh, well, that's the last Sunday of the month then.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. we got to make the guy sit here. Yeah. Make the guy or lady sit
here. He
won't
be here. No. He should come in.
You can come and see where the four outdoorsmen do it. Yeah, we will not be here. Yeah. Texas Pictures. Yeah, we should do something. That'd be cool.
Yeah, Neil comes in the morning, and there's some guys sleeping in the studio here someplace. Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. So you guys are in charge. It's my idea. You guys are in charge of that. All right. And I think it'd be good for the show as well.
I technically think I brought it up first tonight, and then he kind of hijacked it.
Trust me. This has been out there for a long, long time.
Stay out of this one.
I think
it is a good idea, though.
No matter whose idea it was, Stru's idea, I'm going to give it to you. Thanks. It was Stru's idea that he talked about a year ago with Mark on another fishing trip, probably. And let's do it.
Well, we've done a lot of stuff together, man. Golfing, casino, hunting, fishing. You should come one of these times.
I would love to.
Did you guys read the Outdoor News?
Yes.
Did you read the whole story about Colin Peterson?
No. But you did talk to me about it in the car.
Controversy, man. I think I'm trying to reach out. He's been on the air at least once, maybe twice.
Did you reread the story? What is the gist of it?
Well, here's what it is. Colin Peterson is he's done something that's called the Landowner Easement Rights Act, where he thinks that the government is the big brother and they're locking people out and they don't give them any decisions to make after they make some kind of an agreement. He thinks there should be more flexibility for landowners. And he says here, he would place a 50-year limit on conservation easements under the Department of Interior and give owners of existing easements, for not CRP, I don't know what it's for, but anyone who gets involved in the program now, give those owners of existing easements the option to renegotiate, renew, or buy out of that easement and take that land back from the government. Right now, about 75% of our land that is the prairie stuff is from this program. I forget what year it was, and he's trying to say, listen, these guys should have more options. They didn't get the right deal in 1991 or 1985, whatever it is. So it's a pretty big deal, and I don't know if it's right or wrong. I don't know much about it, but I think it'd be kind of fun to have Colin on the show.
For sure, it would be.
We have had him on before.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we have.
He's the representative from up north more, isn't he? Iron Range area?
Not quite that far, but yeah, who knows where. We're going to find out. But I think he'll come on.
Yeah.
Now is the time for him to come on and say his piece, and I'm not sure if it's good for the DNR or the outdoorsman or conservationalist like us or not. But
we should have him on.
Mark, you got some shout-outs.
Yeah, we have a couple minutes before break, so I'll get through shout-outs here. Chad Daniel says, Hometown Heroes Outdoors got 9 members out for a great Friday afternoon of pheasant hunting at Badger Pheasant Run, Federal Dam, Minnesota. Brian Amberg, a guy I used to work with, cool guy, said got both kids out skeet shooting. Corey Bechtold, our good friend, says a full report on What's Working Now Facebook page. He's showing a nice smallmouth there. Jesse Koskinimi says having a great time in North Dakota hunting with Flush TV tomorrow. Wait a minute, that's my TV show. I'll have to talk to him about that. Jiggin' Jim Taxidermy says sandwich meat. I'm not sure what that means, but thank you for writing in. Bill Katz says, hey guys, listening at home. Hello, Bill. Tony Thiesing says, helping get some veterans and law enforcement officers out for a goose hunt with Hometown Hero Outdoors. Kyle Headland says, setting up deer stands with my dad near Black Duck, Minnesota. Jason Euchre says, Saturday morning in the duck boat with the boys, ended up getting 5 woodies and a drake. Great picture there. And Alicia Ann says, another Hometown Hero Outdoors shout out, partnered with Blackwater Angling and got roughly 100 men and women out the third for a second annual Veterans Sturgeon event. Caught some massive sturgeon. So thank you very much.
Thanks.
Boy, Hometown Hero Outdoors does a lot of stuff.
It really does. I mean, they're one of the organizations that just helps so many people get involved in hunting and fishing and giving back and on their own time and all of that. It really is cool to see that.
It's an awesome picture of all those people.
Yeah, it is cool. Stru, who do we have on tonight? It's going to be a great show.
Yeah, Kurt Walbeck's going to be on first. He went. He helped with a disabled hunt with Badger Mining in someplace in western Wisconsin, I think. And they do that every year. Been doing it for years and years and years. So Kurt's going to talk about that. And then we've got on Tom Rogotsky. And Tom Rogotsky and his family own a salmon fishing business in Alaska. And they come back here and do their farming and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know when they do this, but it's a tough job. And it's going to be fun to talk to both these guys on the 4 Outdoorsmen. Ready for the break, buddy? Here we go. We'll see you in about 5 minutes or so. Take care.
Just enjoying Bob Outdoors with the 4 Outdoorsmen on a Sunday evening. It's a good thing.
Hey, Stru Man here for Devil's Lake Tourism. It's not a secret that Devil's Lake is known for fantastic fishing, but now is the time for you to double up with your annual Cast and Blast. Devil's Lake is also known for some of the best bird hunting in this country, so hey, you can shoot a few pheasants in the morning and maybe catch a few walleyes in the afternoon. That, my friends, is just about the perfect day. Hey, bring your fishing rod, bring your shotgun, bring your family. For more information, simply go to devilslakend.com. Hey, and thanks.
Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company. You can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now.
The season of camping, boating, and fishing, and you don't want to be left out because your trailer's broken. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove can fix it and get you back to the outdoors. Crystal Welding offers a wide variety of services, including welding, maintenance, and repairs for all types of trailers. Crystal Welding is your one-stop shop for all of your trailer needs. Go to crystalwelding.com for more information. Crystal Welding. Solutions. Service. Results.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No time to smoke.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers. Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved. Made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
What does that Ski-Doo feeling sound like?
Woohoo!
Whoa, dude, I love that thing.
Oh, that was awesome!
Hey, let's go again.
Yeah, it sounds a little something like that. And now you can get that Ski-Doo feeling during our Yellow Tag event. On now, visit Power Lodge in Ramsey and get up to $1,500 off select 2020 Summit A50 E-Tech models. Offer ends October 31st, 2020. Restrictions apply. Customer offers vary based on creditworthiness. See dealer for details.
There's nothing like a good cup of coffee to start your morning off right. My family and I choose Operator Coffee, not only because it's packed full of flavor, but it's roasted for the brave and the bold. Portions of each bag are donated to a few different nonprofit organizations that bring veterans into the great outdoors. Operator Coffee offers six different small batch roasted flavors. Whether you like light, medium, dark, ground, or whole bean, they have it all. Check it out at operatorcoffee.com. Did I mention it's roasted here in Minnesota? OperatorCoffee.com.
If you owe back taxes, there's a lot you need to know, starting with rule number one. Don't mess with the IRS. They are cracking down this year by sending out heart-stopping letters, actively garnishing paychecks, levying bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. That's all true. But it's also true there's a way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, an important government program for tax debt assistance. It's one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered, so now's the time. You could qualify for tax relief that saves you thousands, even tens of thousands. Nobody knows this program like the award-winning experts at Optima Tax Relief. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and will fight to get you the best deal possible. Don't mess with the IRS. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-574-9188. 800-574-9188. 800-574-9188.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hi, this is Kate Bodiger, Executive Director of Reach for Resources. I want to thank everyone who made our Cackle and Spur Charity Pheasant Hunt such a success at Sand Pine Pheasants and Gold Meadow Hunting Preserve. With your support, we raised over $61,000 to help those with disabilities and mental health conditions reach their full potential. We also want to extend our sincere thanks to Bob FM for their generous partnership. Please join us next year, and in the meantime, check out more about Reach for Resources at reachforresources.org.
Save big on a trip for two with airfare and hotel to Riverside Resort and Casino in Laughlin, Nevada. Just $2.99. Trips and dates are limited. Book now.
Deals on radio. Deals on radio.
Total Country Bob FM.
Sounds good, buddy, but I tell you what, you got to put the music down because the next guy is really, really important. Next guy is Kurt Walbeck. He was voted the best-looking outdoor news, TV, hunting, fishing personality in the country over the age of 50. Yes, he was over the age of 50. So he's we have a special guest on the show tonight.
I got goosebumps.
Kurt. Yeah, Kurt, how you doing, buddy?
Hey guys, how you doing? I'd like to know the source of that information.
Well,
there's true.
My wife and your wife were the only two people who voted.
Oh, okay, there. All right. Well, then that explains it. Yeah, so, hey, guys, what's new? What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you what's new. I'll tell you what. Kurt Walbeck, he's with Outdoor Bound TV, and he's got a show that's been on for, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years, whatever. You can find him on ABC and Wild TV, and he's on every week. He does something for everybody all the time. But I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about your hunt for the disabled with Badger Mining Company in a couple of seconds here, but I got to share this with the guys. I forgot about it. My wife was reading, we love reading the St. Paul morning paper. Sunday paper takes about an hour, a cup of coffee, and just sharing stuff. And she reads the obituaries, and on Sundays, there's about 30 of these babies. She finds a lady from West St. Paul. Her name is Georgia May. Unfortunately, Georgia passed away, and she said, they're talking about what her background was. This is right in the St. Paul paper this morning. It says, no gathering will be held afterwards. Memorials preferred by the family to the church. In lieu of flowers, Georgia preferred that you do not vote for Trump.
That was in the paper?
It's in the St. Paul. It's right here.
Oh,
it's
my
in
gosh.
The St. Paul Pioneer Press. And instead of flowers, don't vote for Trump. Isn't that wonderful? God, that's funnier. I like a lady with a sense of humor. Kurt, how you been, friend?
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. Doing great. Just getting a chance to be back in the great state of Wisconsin for a week here before we head back out on the road tomorrow.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know you've been married for a long, long time, and you have a wonderful lady, and Carla, I think her name is. And one of the reasons you guys stay married and stay happy because you only see each other about 50% of the living waking hours, man. You're all over the place.
That's exactly what she'll be the first one to tell that when somebody says, you know, it's we just celebrated our 29th wedding anniversary in September. And when someone asks, well, what's the secret? She said, well, Kurt's gone probably 250 days a year. That's why.
I think it's not only that Kurt's gone 250 days a year, but Carla posted a couple of days ago, oh, she likes her wine from Total Wine. I think she's got her own world as well. Good for you guys. Yeah, I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about your trip coming up to Devil's Lake here in about 5 or 10 minutes or so, but I want you to tell us about how you got involved with Badger Mining Company and tell me what that program is all about. And first, tell me what Badger Mining is.
Well, I tell you what, neat story. Badger Mining Corporation is a Wisconsin corporation, a privately owned, family-owned company, and they've been around for a long, long time. In fact, the owners now are third-generation owners. So really cool Wisconsin company. And what they do is they're sand mining. And they have three different mines, two in the eastern part of the state and one in the western part of the state. And one of the things they did about, I think they said this is their 20th year doing this, understand around mines, sand mines or gravel pits, like we commonly call them here.
Yep.
They have purchased buffer properties. And that's basically so neighbors don't have to look at, sand mines or gravel pits and those kind of things. And what they've done in these buffer properties is they actively manage the timber there. They do a lot of erosion control type stuff, and they also manage for whitetails. Well, 20 years ago, they got the idea that said, hey, let's give back to our community by helping some of the folks that are a little less fortunate, and let's open up our mines, i.e. these properties that we're managing, and right, specifically these buffer areas that are timbered to whitetail hunters and specifically disabled whitetail hunters.
Wow.
And so that's exactly what they did, and they put it out, you know, basically that they were willing to take folks in, and now they've got folks applying like crazy. And what's really cool is all of the associates there, not only the family, but the associates that work at Badger Mining all get involved in this, from making meals to taking hunters to the stand to, it was funny because, watching them get in when there was a deer shot, there'd be five or six people and they're all helping cut up meat and skin deer and so on. So it's really not just a family operation. It's really a lot of the associates that work at Badger Mining that are putting this on for disabled hunters.
Hey, Kurt, let me ask you a couple of questions. Number one, is this season outside the normal deer hunting season in Wisconsin, number one? And number two, how do they determine, they can't take everybody, how do they determine who is the disabled hunter who is going to be hunting on their property?
Sure. Well, Wisconsin does a special disabled hunt. One of the things, and I'm not sure how long it's been happening here in the state of Wisconsin, But Scott Walker, a friend of mine, former governor, yeah. were talking about that. And he said really the whole goal of that program was to allow disabled hunters the opportunity to gun hunt in warmer weather.
By the way, it started in 1990.
To get around.
1990 started in Wisconsin. Continue.
90.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. So that's really how that and why that was developed. It allowed disabled hunters their own hunting season, warmer temperatures, you know, typically no snow on the ground, a lot easier to get around, and made it a lot easier for them to be able to hunt. Now, Badger Mining, what started out being first employees and then families of employees and associates and so on, and then it just kind of grew from there. And, you know, I was talking with one of the family members, and they said, you know, that is the toughest part about putting on this disabled hunt is unfortunately having to choose who gets to go
yeah.
and who doesn't.
It's got to be hard.
So, you know, there's no secret formula. They take a look at it. They said they want to introduce as many people as possible to the outdoors. They get repeat applications, folks that have been with them before. They said they go to the bottom of the list, and they always want to try to get as many family or people into the outdoors that haven't been there or haven't had that opportunity before.
Well, that's really, really special. You know, I said in my promo that some of the mining companies get a bad rap, you know, because people think they're tearing apart the environment. But these folks are literally giving back and enhancing someone's lives. Would never be able to do it without guys like you and Badger Mining. How many people are involved, like what you are doing, as being one of the guides or hosts for the disabled?
Well, I think this year they were taking between their three properties. I believe they said they were taking 12 disabled hunters for the disabled hunt. So, and each of those disabled hunters all had their own personal guide. They also had folks that were there helping them skin animals. There was cooks there that were taking care of meals. There was one crew making breakfast before the hunters went out. There's another crew there for lunch and a whole other crew frying fish for dinner. And it was just, it was really, really neat to see, no doubt. So
yeah.
just in the area I was, and I was they had four hunters. I was in the western part of the state by their Blair Taylor mine. And there was probably 30 associates and family members that were all involved with helping those four hunters for that weekend.
So there's only 12. My God, it's got to be difficult. Because you get emotionally involved, and of course, the Badger Mining folks care a lot about all these folks. Otherwise, they wouldn't have started this disabled hunt in the first place. And you have to turn somebody down and put them back on the list. They have to have hundreds and hundreds of applications.
That's right. No, there certainly is. And like they said, that's the only downside of this program is that, you know, you have to turn people away. But I tell you what, you know, and most people don't understand, and I was one of those that didn't understand until I got a tour of the Blair mine site. As they mine, and specifically are taking out sand in this mine, they have to reclaim that property after the mining is done. And that's a lot of the area where, you know, they'll bring black dirt back over the top. They plant trees, native grasses, prairie grasses, and so on. And it's just a fantastic home for these whitetails. And then, like I said, their buffer properties around the mine, they manage the forest in there, and just beautiful oak ridges and just incredible property. And some of the whitetails in there, I tell you what, I want to hunt there. But and they allow each of the disabled hunters to kill whatever they want to harvest. And even though they're managing the properties for whitetails, they allow the hunters to take whatever they want. In terms of any size buck, they can take a doe if they'd like. And I tell you what, we saw a whole lot of happy faces leaving there last Sunday.
Hey, Kurt, my buddy's got a question for you.
Hey, Kurt, sure. This is Sam. How are you?
Hey, Sam.
Hey, I got a question for you. Why is it only 12? Is it lack of space for the properties?
That's exactly right. They're trying to provide a good quality hunt, and they said, you know, we certainly could take more people. We have more applicants, but, you know, to do it justice and to make sure we're not stepping on each other and to follow the management, criteria that they had set, that was kind of the magic number.
Interesting. I tell you what, you know, I was reading some of the stories. If you go to the Badger Mining Company's website, It'll talk about this hunt as well. It'll have stories from people who have participated in it. And I read a couple of them, probably three or four, because you almost have to have a tissue with them because it's so – we are so lucky. We're sitting here. We're physically able. And,
we're blessed.
And, yeah, absolutely. But they're out there giving it a shot. And there was one kid who 2 years ago, his name is Kevin Coleman, 16 years old, and he was – I could see he was in some kind of a chair. I don't know what the situation was, but he's disabled. And he had a chance to hunt Fond du Lac. Is that
Fond du Lac.
Fond du Lac?
Mm-hmm.
Someplace over there?
Yep, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Yeah. That's what's one of the mine sites in the eastern part of Wisconsin.
All right. And he had an opportunity. It's a two-day hunt. I think they all get to hunt 2 days of what I read. And he passed up like a decent buck. He's never shot a deer before in his life. The first day, and his dad or whoever was there said, you know what, son, this is – you might have, you know, don't get greedy, but anyway, he thought that God's going to work his magic and something's going to happen. The next day, he shot a small buck, but it was a peel ball, P-I-E-B-A-L-D buck. Do you know what that is?
Piebald.
Piebald.
Piebald. Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
Extremely rare, and what a thrill for this kid to get an animal that very few people would describe. What is a piebald buck?
Well, piebald is it's a mutant-type gene that creates white and normal brown skin and eye tones and even horns in some cases. So
wow.
It's kind of a cross between an albino deer and a regular, you know, brown deer. But the piebald is basically a mutant gene that creates that, and they're spotted. And in some cases, they can be totally white with just one small brown patch, and that's termed a piebald deer.
I'm going to thrill for this kid. It has probably changed his life in some way or another. Let's talk about, now you were a guide to one hunter yourself, right?
That's right.
All right, mm-hmm. How did that go? Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the young man is actually from the eastern part of the state. He's from over in Berlin, Wisconsin, which happens to be the corporate home of Badger Mining. And he made the trip to the western part of the state to come over and hunt. And he is in a chair. And he has some complications that don't allow him to use his arms and his legs and like we are.
Yeah.
And so he is confined to a chair. He is able to get up out of the chair and move himself into, you know, onto a stool or a stationary chair and things like that. Very capable young man, but physically just makes it very, very difficult to be able to get in and out of the woods. And the folks at Badger Mining actually put beautiful Shadow Hunter blinds in with ramps coming into them, so it makes it real easy. You can actually drive right to the blind, and this young man was able to get into the blind. The first morning, we saw a lot of deer, and it was we probably had 10 to 12 different does immediately that day, and then we had a couple good bucks. In fact, one 8-point buck that I know he was considering taking, and he said, you know, I'd like to hold off. And the next morning we get out, and I'm really glad he held off, because as it was starting to get daylight on Sunday morning, I looked out, and as we're sitting over a picked cornfield, and I could see a silhouette out there, and I knew it was going to be a good deer. And we started to look in the camera to try to figure out what it was, and through our Vortex binoculars, we figured out it was a beautiful 11-point buck.
What a thrill.
He was able to get his gun up, and he found him, and as soon as it got light enough that he could see him, he was able to put the crosshairs on him, and he dropped him right there. And I tell you what, the tears from all of us, cameraman included, it was pretty special.
Okay, Hank, you're the reason this show works, guests like you, but I tell you what, you got about a minute and a half. Let's tell us what's happening at Devil's Lake this coming week.
Yeah, Devil's Lake, we are heading out early tomorrow morning. We're going to be doing something pretty unusual out there. We call it the three W's. We're doing waterfall, walleye, and whitetail. Now, that's a pretty aggressive thing to do in 1 week's time.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a fantastic area, and I know you guys have got a chance to spend some time there.
Yeah.
We love it. We love going back to Devil's Lake. So we're going to try to catch trophy walleye. We're going to go try to get out and kill waterfall. And we're going to try to kill a whitetail all in the same week.
Well, what we're going to do? What's
like
that, Mark?
Hitting the cycle.
Hit the cycle. Yeah, that's the trifle. That's like getting a turkey in bowling, three in a row. I've done that before. Yeah, I'll tell you what, Kurt. Once you come back after your trip, of course we stay in touch with each other because you know we're best friends now, you guys. Anyways, we want to have you back on in a couple of weeks and just tell us how it went out there, because it is one of the bucket list destinations of a lot of people, and I thank you for supporting them because they're one of our great, great sponsors. Kurt Walbeck, Outdoor Bound TV. Find him out there if you can, and you keep doing the stuff you do because you're what makes the industry work, and we appreciate having you on the air, sir.
Hey, thanks, guys. Great talking to you, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Be safe.
Take care.
Hey, we're going to be right back with Tom Rogotsky. Tom Rogotsky with Rogotsky Fish Company out of Alaska, but they all live in Minnesota. We'll be right back.
You want to be socially distant? Well, Devil's Lake has nearly 170,000 acres. It's been rated one of the top five fisheries in all of the United States, and for good reasons. Yep, the fishing itself is Devil's Lake's biggest lure. You get that? But what also keeps bringing vacationers back are the friendly people, the service, the hotels, the restaurants, the outdoor opportunities, the city itself. Hey, trust Struman on this one. Bring your fishing rod. Bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
Power Lodge is the official power sports dealer for the Four Outdoorsmen. Open water season is winding down, but that means it's the best time to get great deals on new 2020 boats in stock. New 2021 Lund, Alumacraft, Lowe, Ranger, and Godfrey boats are arriving weekly, which means it's time to move out the 2020s. Save thousands on new 2020 boats during our model year-end sales event. Going on now at all Power Lodge locations, Brainerd, Ramsey, and Onamia.
Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company, you can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now.
If you happen to drive by the Bob FM studios on Sunday night, you might notice a sweet new Ram 1500 sitting in the parking lot. Yep, that baby's mine, and I got it from McKay's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waite Park. Sam here for my friends at McKay's. Ram trucks are built for the outdoorsmen like me and my family, and there's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park just west of St. Cloud or shop online at McKaysDodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's.
What does that skidoo feeling sound like?
Woohoo!
Whoa, dude, I love that thing.
Oh, that was awesome.
Hey, let's go again.
Yeah, it sounds a little something like that. And now you can get that skidoo feeling during our Yellow Tag event. On now, visit Power Lodge in Ramsey and get up to $1,500 off select 2020 Summit A50 E-Tech models. Offer ends October 31st, 2020. Restrictions apply. Customer offers vary based on creditworthiness. See dealer for details.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers. Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved, made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
It's Neil for Zero Res. If you're like me, you've spent a lot of extra time living in your home these last few months. I think we both can agree it's time to call Zero Res. And why Zero Res when there's so many options? How about a 4.9 rating on Google with over 9,300 real customer reviews? Call today and ask for the Bob FM special. Get 3 rooms Zero Resified starting at just $149 and take $50 off your air duct cleaning this month too. Call 952-ZERO-RES or book online at Zero Res Minnesota. Soda.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
The hell is that? Holy buckets. That's not
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Is that Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
That's one of the best movies ever.
Well, it's a pretty good movie. I'll tell you what. My guess is that Tom Rogotsky was like Ferris Bueller when he was a kid because he seems like he's a little racy here. This Tom Rogotsky. We're talking with Tom Rogotsky of Rogotsky Fish Company in Alaska. Tom, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
Every day's a gift. I'll tell you what, Tom. I have no idea. We have a our promo music is usually from a guy named Joe Giuliano. We've had it for 7 years, and all of a sudden
he's missing in action.
We can't find him.
Hey, I love the fill-ins.
We can't find him. He might have sabotaged the show because we've never paid him a dime. You know, but that, don't tell Joe that we're playing his music. Tom Rogotsky, Rogotsky Fish Company in Alaska. You guys, your family owns this. It's three brothers and an uncle or something. Tell us about the company, but tell us a little bit about your background first. You don't just grow up being in fishing. You must have been hunting and fishing in the Twins in some place in the state of Minnesota before someone went to Alaska.
Yeah, so my dad, after college, was kind of an outdoorsman, and if you are an outdoorsman, Alaska's kind of like a destination. And so after college, he went up, and he worked in a marina for a summer, and he got talking with a guy that came in, and that guy said, well, hey, I might need somebody next year, and I'll give you a call if I do. And that's just kind of where it started off. He got a call the next year, and he fished herring. And then he fished salmon, and then my uncle came up, and that was just kind of the start of things.
But how do you go from being a hand on a boat to buying a boat, owning a boat, and changing your whole life? I mean, that's a big – someone's got some big kahunas to make that jump.
Yeah, and the big kahunas, I think, came from my grandpa. He actually put up the farm for he mortgaged it so they could get their fishing business started. My dad bought a boat and a permit after the first couple years of crewing for that guy. And they had a first couple good years. My uncle came up. He crewed with my dad. And then after that, they paid off that first mortgage of the farm. And then they were able to mortgage the farm again to get my uncle set up with a boat and a permit.
Wow. Well, how did Tom Rogoski get involved as a little kid?
So I started when I was 12. Dad said as soon as you can fit in an immersion suit, which is a suit you would, if you had to get off the boat in a hurry, you would jump in the water in an immersion suit or a survival suit. And so 12 is when I was big enough to fit into that. And I fished with Dad for 9 years on his boat, and he finally kicked me out of the nest. And I ended up with my own boat, and I've been fishing that for the last 11 years.
Mark, you got something?
So at 12 years old, you think of how even dangerous that is. You know, we're all familiar with the Discovery Channel shows where the waves are crazy. Yep. And, man, that takes a lot of guts for a 12-year-old not only to work that hard but to face those dangerous waters. Have you ever had any close calls with storms or anything like that?
Oh, we've had a couple where, you know, you're kind of white-knuckling it. And I think my dad was pretty cautious with me those first few years until I got a real good grasp on what was going on. You know, he'd bring me up a few days late, let everything else kind of get established. And then I would fish kind of the peak of the season. I was his peak guy. And the boat that he fished was pretty small, and we would sleep head to foot on the table of that boat. And so it was pretty cramped.
But I'll tell you what, that's crazy. And I'll tell you what, I know the business is going well right now, and I know there were downtimes as well. But describe to the folks, our listeners, on the 4 Outdoorsmen. By the way, we're talking with Tom Rogoski of Rogoski Fish Company. They're from southern Minnesota, the boys are. Describe the process. You're not out there with a fish in a line. Describe the process to our listeners.
So the process kind of starts every year, probably second week of June. We go up, we prep the boats, we get ready to go rolling out to water, and we drop in, and as soon as we hit the water, we head out to the fishing grounds where we fish with 900 feet of net, and it hangs 10 feet down in the water. And we just, it's just like fishing, you know, sometimes you're in them and sometimes you're not. And it's like you say, every day is a gift. Every fish is a gift up there because you never know if you're going to land in them or not.
You know, of course, we watch Deadliest Catch. I'm hooked on that stupid show and have been for years. It's kind of fun. But I can't picture, I think the size of your boat is like 32 feet or so. I can't picture that boat dragging a 900-foot net without a fish in it, much less having a bunch of salmon in it. How do you control that boat? That's got to be quite a chore.
Yeah, it really is. So a lot of the time we're kind of setting it up for whatever direction we think the fish are coming. So we'll tow a big hook in it, you know, we'll put a U in it. And what we're doing is called drift netting. The tide pushes us up and down this river. And when I say river, we're, you know, it's 13 miles wide where we're fishing. And the tide can go up and down 25 feet. And that reveals some sandbars, which are, you know, some real buggers if you aren't paying attention to what you're doing. So, 900 feet, every once in a while, you get blanked, and we call that a water haul. And that's something you don't want to tell anybody.
Man, I'll tell you what, okay, a couple of questions. How long is the season for sockeye salmon, I think is what you're catching mostly? And how do you determine where you can fish as compared to someone else where they can fish? Nobody owns that water. How do you determine where you can fish?
No, that's God's water, as we would say. And anybody, I mean, you can fish 5 feet from somebody if you want, but you're not going to be real good friends with them when it's all said and done.
Oh, yeah.
There's some imaginary boundaries that they have set up for us, and if it's flooding where the water is coming up the river, the fish are also flooding up the river, and at that imaginary boundary, it is competitive. And people are bumping into each other, and, you know, there's maybe a few nice hand gestures and things like that, but it can be pretty close quarters sometimes, and sometimes you can fish where there's no boat for another mile or two.
How long is the season?
So the season usually kind of kicks off, or it's picking up around June 23rd, and by the end of July, it's usually wrapped up, at least for most of the out-of-state folks that go up there. But this year, it kind of carried on after we left. We left about the 25th, 26th of July, and the locals had some really good fishing up there into the beginning part of August.
So this works out pretty well for you, you and your family. I think mostly your farmers out there, I think, in Lester Prairie or Sleepy Eye or something like that. So this works perfectly, I think, with your schedule as farmers, right?
Yeah. Well, so I'm the only one that currently works on a farm,
right.
And then my dad and brother have the other perfect job for a summertime fisherman and their teachers. So they've got the summer off so that they can take summer vacation, or as Dad calls it, adult summer camp.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if anyone's interested in reading this story about these guys, I found it in the Star Tribune on Sunday, and Tom was nice enough to get back to me and tell us all about the story. You know, I'm not sure if it was this year or a couple of years ago, but it says here sometime that in 3 weeks – there are 1,500 boats out there someplace in Bristol Bay in the Bering Sea, and they brought in 40 million salmon. 40 million salmon. That's like fishing an opener in Mille Lacs. You know, it's like boat to boat, those kind of things. When you get all these fish in the net, how do you get them from the net into your boat, or do you take them directly to a big boat and drop them off?
So once we kind of monitor the set and we look, and if we see a lot of hits out there, you know, a lot of splashing fish running into it, and sometimes it'll just be the cork bobbing a little bit, but we bring them on board and we hand pick all of those fish out, and then they go into refrigerated seawater inside of these big, what are called brailer bags in our fish holds, and so they get chilled down to 34 degrees. And then the like the deadliest catch boats, those guys that you were talking about earlier, are kind of the middlemen.
Yeah,
they come out and park on the fishing grounds, and we pull up to them, and then they offload our fish onto them and run up to the processor.
So, and it goes to the processor. So, how are you compensated? Does the price for salmon change every season, every week? How are you compensated?
So. For most of the season, we say we're fishing for free because they don't actually come out with a price per pound until it seems like we're almost ready to pack it in.
Yeah, I can see that.
And this year, you know, for whatever reason, was a down year on price on the fishing grounds. But something I've noticed back home here is that the price of salmon in the grocery store has not gone down. So I don't, you know, whatever reason, that's just the way it is.
Doesn't seem fair to me. I tell you what, another thing is you're talking about fishing for free. In the early 2000s, I remember reading of this story that your business was hurt by farm-raised salmon, and it was easier for people in stores to buy the farm-raised salmon. How did you guys get through that tough time?
So around that time, my uncle and my dad were looking for a way to recover some of the cost of their fishing habit. And so what they did was they started to bring home a small amount of salmon from up there. And it just kind of started off as selling to a couple buddies here and there. And then they worked out a deal with the company that we work with up there where they would buy the fish back after we sold it to them and they processed it. We would get it back. and then they would bring that down here and sell it. And it's mostly been an organically grown business. We don't advertise at all. It's a lot of friends and family and just word of mouth. And it's been kind of a fun thing to share fishing stories and what we do up there.
So how long are you actually in Alaska every year when you go there?
Month and a half. That's usually what it takes to get it done. A couple weeks of prep work and maybe a few days at the end to clean things up and winterize. And right now the boats are all sitting on blocks in a little town called Dillingham, okay, way out in southwest Alaska.
You're there for 6 weeks for the season, I guess. And how many of those days are you actually sleeping on the boat?
Every day. It's I've been telling everybody it's kind of a lot like camping. And then you're in close quarters, clearly. You know, it's only a 32-foot boat, but
yeah,
I've got four bunks on board, and one of them I throw junk on. That's my junk drawer. And I bring two crewmen with me, typically, you know, guys from Minnesota if I can find them. And it's a lot. When you bring those guys up there the first time, and you hardly even know these guys. And it's a lot like if you went on one date, you know, your interview, and then you moved in together. And you are together those 6 weeks, and you get to know each other almost too well.
So when somebody, you guess I'm saying?
I was going to say, how often do you, like, get a week into it and be like, man, I should have never hired this guy?
It has definitely happened. I've been pretty fortunate here lately, though. I've had some pretty solid crewmen. One guy's been with me for 5 years now, and I had a new guy this year from the town I live in. I saw him on Facebook and clicked on his name, and there he was, and met up, and he turned out to be a pretty good guy.
Cool. Sam,
do you have any initiation for him?
Oh, there's a few pranks we like to play. my dad's favorite is getting new guys to go look for compass grease. compass grease.
Yeah, funny.
I still got you guys?
Yeah, yeah, you do. Yeah.
Okay. Compass grease, and then the other one, you know, the perpetual prop wash is the other thing we send people around town. And there's probably four or five stores that they all know the drill, and they pass these kids off tell them, oh, yeah, go to the next one.
That's funny because it reminds me of the Minnesota Vikings, because they used to have, when the rookies come in, they would tell the rookies that to go to the store because they always get the free turkeys from the store for the Minnesota Viking rookies, and it never happened. It's just a lot of fun. They do the same thing. you know, I read also that sometimes when you're really, really busy, you don't get a whole lot of sleep, maybe an hour a night, and some places said where you slept less than an hour a night for a week or so. I mean,
yep.
There's got to be some a-holes in the morning by 9 o'clock when you're not sleeping after 2 or 3 days. That's got to be really, really hard to do.
Yeah, we get pretty growly with each other up there. I know that me and my guy that's been with me for 5 years now, there's a few times where you feel like an old married couple. You kind of look at each other and grumble a little bit and put your head back down and go to work. But there was a stretch where I slept over a week. I slept a half hour a day.
Wow.
And it was just so foggy. I couldn't imagine putting pressure on my couple new crewmen to
right,
watch the net.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask you a serious question. I'm 69 years old. I'm 5'7", 149 pounds, really stay in shape. I've got a lot of energy and all that kind of. Could I, and I'm fairly strong for a little guy, I guess, could I handle this job for 6 weeks?
You know, I think you probably could. You've got a lot of pep, you know. I think a little coffee and you would be good to go.
I don't think you could handle me
with coffee.
Yeah. I would run out of jokes in about 3 days, then I would shut up. But
BS.
No, I would
recycle them.
No, I'm serious about this. You know, I it's something that I would consider doing. And I don't know, about a half an hour. I think give me 3 hours a day. I mean, to sleep. Because I sleep 4 or 5 max now.
He's already negotiating.
Give me 3 hours a day. Give me three hours a day.
You know, we're going to have to give you a few more Snicker bars to keep you going, I guess, if you need 3 or 5 hours. I mean, man, you're getting greedy.
I guarantee Stru would come back with compass grease. I guarantee it.
Oh, that's interesting. So the deckhands you're working with have no idea how much they're getting paid until the six weeks are done, right?
That's correct. None of us do, and so they get paid a percentage. We sign a contract on a percentage for a new guy versus an experienced guy,
right,
or somebody that's a mechanic or things like that. And nobody knows until the end of the season, and it just drives you nuts.
Well, I'll tell you what, with a name like Rogatski, you would give a guy named Strusinski probably a little bit more percentage than the other guys, right? Because we're kind of in the same general direction, I think, but who knows?
Yeah, I think so. If you can make a cup of coffee for me once a day, I feel like we could probably work something out.
Hey, for a couple extra bucks, I'll give you a foot rub. Hey, I'll tell you what. How can we buy some of the salmon from you in the Twin Cities?
Yeah, if you go to our website, RogatskiFishCo.com,
yep.
You can go and check it out there. We've got some sockeye portions and some coho portions available right now. Otherwise, we're sold out of the King, and we usually carry some sockeye fillets, too, but those are all spoken for.
I'll tell you what, I plan on doing that because I love salmon, and we'll do this. You deliver to the Twin Cities, and we have dinner and a few cocktails and tell a few stories. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
Tom, you're a great guy. This is a great story. Tom Rogatski of Rogatski Fish Company. They're down in southern Minnesota, but they fish 6 weeks a year, 6 weeks every summer in Alaska. You're a special guy. So I'm proud of you guys. I'm glad it's going well, and hopefully we can spread the word for you.
Yep. Thanks for having me on, you guys.
Take care and be safe. I'll tell you, that's a hell of a story. Take care, buddy. That's fun.
That's awesome. Well, let's thank our sponsors here.
Yeah.
Thank you very much to our sponsors, Power Lodge, right down the road in Ramsey, Minnesota, Cats Covers, Bill, BK Outdoors. Go get your Cats Covers while they're still in stock. And Clam Outdoors, the best gear for ice fishing. Go to clamoutdoors.com and get your stuff while it lasts, because a lot of people are out there going to be fishing this
week.
Looking for a new vehicle, call McKay's up in Waite Park. They'll take care of you. And when you buy that new vehicle and you're headed back, brew yourself a cup of coffee and make sure it's operator coffee. They help out the veterans.
I tell you what, you know, Devil's Lake Tourism, of course, our premier sponsor for years. Love them dearly, and we're out there as much as we can be. As a matter of fact, Kurt Walbeck's going to be spending some time there the entire week there doing the 3 W's. Good for him. But in the meantime, if you get a chance, I tell you, the weather is absolutely gorgeous. Hey, my buddy Mark's got some advice for you.
Get outside and make some memories.